podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hi, I'm Yannick Hanfman.
I'm Ilya Marchenko.
I'm Dennis Kudla.
This is Sebastian Ofner.
I'm Andrea Huesler.
I am Francisco Cerundolo.
And you're listening to the Game Zola podcast.
Hopefully you enjoy it.
Right. Hey, welcome everybody. It is episode 3 of the countdown. JG wasn't here for the last one, but now he's back and there's only 11 hours to go until Roland Garros is upon us. I cannot wait. And JG, come on, set us ready. Get us with our big intro ready to, well, set episode 3 alight. I can't wait.
Well, it's the first one we're doing live. We're running out of time. 11 hours to go. Yep. Welcome to the countdown.
Novak Djokovic has won the Australian Open. 35 matches unbeaten. He's done it. Carlos Alcaraz. Djokovic has won Wimbledon. He wins his 14th Roland Garros title.
Oh, how sad. 14th Roland Garros title. It's not going to be 15 this year because there is no Rafael Nadal. And right on cue, we've got Sankin saying, my Roland Garros without my hero, Rafa, need energy from you guys for me to at least attempt to enjoy 2 weeks. Appreciate the super chat. Means cheers, the world. Man. And yeah, we'll try our best to give as much energy as possible. I think Ben will have more than me. Reason being, he is backing Novak Djokovic to get to number 23 and overtake Rafa in the slam race and be out there on the top on his own. But yeah, certainly I am really upset about Rafael Nadal not being there. I believe that he is the best player to ever grace the clay courts, not even just Roland Garros, but just clay courts in general. And I really hope we get to see him one more time. But enough about that. Let's focus on 2023 and Roland Garros. And in the usual style on the countdown, we start with contenders.
That's right, the contenders. And this week we are going to be speaking about Novak Djokovic. That's right. Can he achieve number 23? There's no Rafael Nadal. So his main competitor that's been there throughout the past however many years, and the one guy he always has trouble against there, he's not there in this year. And he's already won the first Grand Slam of the year. And we know that last time he was to do this, he went on to win 3 Grand Slams in a row. Is he able to do it on this one? We're going to be going through his form leading in. Then we're going to look at last year's Roland Garros to see how he got on. And we will be doing the same as well for the women's, because we are going to be talking about Yelena Rybakina in this one as well. So Should we get straight into it?
Yeah, we will. Before we do, though, Ben, the big thing about Novak Djokovic in the press conferences before we've started Roland Garros, and that's the bit what's been sort of clipped all over Twitter, is his reference to Rafael Nadal and him speaking about his longevity. And he's had some really nice things to say about him. He said, when he announced that 2024 would be his last, I felt that part of me would leave with him too. He was one of the biggest motivational factors in my career. It made my reflection on my career and I felt emotional. He's also said it made him wonder how long he's going to play. So Djokovic has opened up after the big announcement from Rafael Nadal and he said how it's made him feel. I wonder if that will play any factor into his performance here at Roland Garros. He's coming in with a really bad warm-up event. He's not played very well, not good in Rome, not very well in before. I know you could say he was okay, but I don't think it's good from his standards. And he's come in thinking about how long he's going to last, or how long he's got left, talking about Rafael Nadal. I don't know. What do you think?
I feel that you can't ignore the elephant in the room, can you, with Rafael Nadal not being at Roland Garros. It's such a big thing that if he didn't speak about it, he'll be probably criticised for not doing so. So, and I do totally agree with him. It does worry me a little bit that when he disappears, if Rafael Nadal disappears before Djokovic, which it seems he may do, will Djokovic have the same fire inside to keep on trying to push on and beat the youngsters? And because at the moment he's trying to beat Rafael Nadal, there's no like ifs and buts about it. He's trying to overtake him. He just wants to be at the top on his own. If he gets to that, is the motivation going to be there to keep on pushing on, to keep on winning more and more once Rafa's gone? That's the only thing that we're going to find out in due course. Only he can answer that question, because Djokovic has a family as well, and everybody's career has to come to an end. Injuries, like we've seen Djokovic, he started to get a few injuries as well himself, like played the whole of Australian Open with like a minor injury, has had this elbow thing going on as well now. I feel it's just going to get more and more. It's similar with Rafa. The injuries are just going to keep on, like keeping on, really. I don't see them getting less and less as the career goes on. It's just going to
obviously, it's only going to get worse for sure. But still, they have something which other players don't have, and that is the mental fortitude and the ability to win the big events, and certainly over best of five. I know Gary mentioned that in the comments section. Yes. It's something you can't really skip past. Djokovic, best of five scenario, no one's better. So that is going to help him for sure over the course of the next 2 weeks. And a quote from him as well, speaking about his confidence levels, is saying, "A part of me is confident, but I also have to be humble on the fact that things can be different on the court. I know how to approach a Grand Slam, and I live days in and days off. The fact that history on the line is motivating." That was his quote.
I think that's his main
thing. He's
always
spoke about history. He's never not going to be motivated for a Grand Slam. So we're going to get maybe not the best form Novak Djokovic, but certainly a highly motivated version of him. Always the same for Grand Slams.
The one thing that he hasn't had that obviously the other ones in the big three have had so far is being the outright leader at any one time. Like, Federer got to 20 and everyone's like, whoa, 20 Grand Slams, whoa. Rafa got to 21 first. Rafa got to 22 first. He hasn't been first on any. So if he gets to 23 first, I feel that that will be a real crowning achievement for him. That's the one he wants.
Getting it over the line and getting there first? It's very difficult to do. We saw him when he was going for...
Golden
Slam. Grand Slam. It wasn't the Golden Slam because he missed out on the Olympics. Slam. The Calendar Slam. And he lost to Medvedev in the final of the US Open. So he was very cold.
Away, wasn't he?
And he crumbled a little bit with the pressure of it all, I believe. Let's see if he crumbles with the pressure of knowing that he has a chance to make history and go out there as the outward leader. But I don't know. I think he can handle the pressure from what I've seen. Certainly when it's a Grand Slam level, he just turns it on and can produce good tennis. So that's my thoughts on that. Let's go through some of the recent matches. Lost to Runa in Rome. Beat Nori Dimitrov Echeverry. Wasn't that convincing, any of them. I thought he played well in one of the sets. What was it? Nori played all right, really, in most of that. He played quite well in the Dimitrov final set, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like he had a 20-minute blip in the Dimitrov match. He looked pretty good. His ground shots looked great.
Yeah, he was 4-1 up, I believe, wasn't he, in that second set, and then lost...
Yeah, I mean, serving was not great, though. This is the problem at the moment.
4-2 up, then lost 4 on the bounce.
Yeah, I feel his serving, it just hasn't been there since he's come onto the clay. That's the one thing that we know, Djokovic... Everybody knows he serves so well. And if he's serving well, you're just going to struggle to beat him. It's just such a weapon. He's almost like a serve bot sometimes, Djokovic. And when he's not serving that great, you see that other people can get closer to him. Because when he falls off on parts of his game, the serve's not there to save him. And the serve wasn't there to save him against Holger Luna. It luckily... He was just better than Dimitrov. Nori was not a challenge. Echeverry was quite a tough match, to be fair. You sort of said he may even lose a set. And it was close. It was a tie break. But he's lost to Lajovic as well. And he dropped a set to Van Asher. And the Musetti match, I'm not blowing this out of proportion. Even though it went to 3, I thought it was one of the worst performances I've seen from Djokovic in a long time. I thought it was terrible.
Well, a lot of these matches as well always go first set tie break, and he's a bit slow off the blocks.
Yeah.
In a Grand Slam, he'd be playing the very best players. And I don't want to just be dismissive to like sort of the Gakovs and Van Asher, but I think even Gakov qualified. So it's going to be tough. But let's see if he can do it. Do you want to look at what was it? Is how he performed last year?
Yes, let's have a look at last year's performance. We can go through this and just see who he had to play. I mean, obviously, he came off the back of winning Rome last year. Didn't drop a set through the whole tournament. Was looking great, obviously beating some really good players as well on the way there and not dropping a set to any of them. Then he went every single match up until the quarterfinals. Didn't drop a set as well. But then we know that it was that terrible draw that for Djokovic. Well, and Rafa at the time, they both had to play each other in the quarterfinals, didn't they? So, and it was an excellent match, but that's just what happens. Unfortunately, you come across Rafa at Roland Garros, it's always possible you're going to lose.
But in his defense, if he was to have won that match, he would have won the whole thing. It definitely felt like that was the final before the final. There wasn't really anyone else troubling. We know Alcaraz was in the event, and Zverev also playing extremely well. That was, I believe, one of the other quarterfinals, and you could argue one of them would have pushed him, but Zverev ends up winning. Whether Zverev could have beaten Djokovic on that day, it was possible, but then we know what happened with his ankle. It's difficult to really tell, but my opinion, from what I've seen, I think if Djokovic would have won this match against Nadal, he would have won Roland Garros. He was playing extremely well in the lead-up, and it's very different to this year. If he gets to the quarterfinals this year, I don't think it's going to be all straight sets. I think he's going to have to go for a few four or five setters, maybe.
Yeah. I
don't know if you agree, because you've got him winning the whole thing. So maybe you just think I'm talking nonsense.
I think he could have some four setters. I'm not sure five setters.
That he's going to be having four setters early doors?
Not really, because he needs the match play. I don't think he's going to get tired. I don't think he's the type of person who gets tired, really. I feel his engine is better than some of the youth on the tour. He can handle hot conditions. He can handle anything you throw at him. The only thing that will let him down is his own body with a potential injury or something like that. I feel his mental is better than everybody else out there. So he just needs to go on the court, perform, and hope his body holds up. And if it does, I feel like he'll outlast pretty much everybody on the tour unless they wipe him off the court with like a lights out performance. And you have to really like clean him off the court. And it's hard to do in five sets. But to speak about that Rafa match, it was so pivotal. I think we remember how pivotal it was because it was that fourth set and he was up. He was up 5-3, wasn't he, in the fourth set? Yeah. He had two set points against Rafa to push it into a fifth, and then he got broken. And then Rafa came back and won on the tiebreak. So that's how close that match actually was as well. It was on a knife edge to go to five, but we didn't get it. And Rafa just showed like why he is the great champion at Roland Garros. I mean, once he got that break back.
What a match. So
it was just amazing. I mean, I was hoping so bad that Rafa would play. I just wanted that match one more time. I just need to see it. I feel like it's a drug or something. Yeah. I just can't think that we won't see that again. I'm hoping that we will see it again.
I don't think we will in a slam. I don't think we'll ever see it again in a slam.
It's tough to. I can't stomach that type of thought right now. Anyway, should we have a look at the betting odds? Is there anybody in the live chat? Thanks everybody who has joined us for this, who has any thoughts on Novak Djokovic, his potential on winning a 23rd slam this year? Is Rafa not being there going to really give him like the mental incentive to now realize that I've got a better opportunity than ever now to go on and grab this a third Roland Garros title? I don't even think it's the 23. I think the third Roland Garros title was massive for him because obviously Rafa has two Australian Opens. He only has two French Opens. He wants the third one. He wants to say, "Oh, I've got three of yours. You've got two of mine. I'm sort of one up on you." I think that will play a factor on his mind.
Maybe. Let's move to the betting odds.
All right, let's do it. All right, here we go. And Carlos Alcaraz, still the leading favorite here, obviously the informed player coming up, lost in Rome to a lights out performance from Marajan, but other than that, he's been impeccable all in 2023.
And well, the odds have gone up a little bit. I mean, it was lower odds before. I think maybe a lot of that is because of Medvedev. You can see there, and yeah. Runa, they've now become more contenders. It felt like before it was just Alcaraz, Djokovic and Rafa. Rafa then withdrew. Alcaraz and Djokovic got shorter in odds, but then the others just went long, like have just now come down as well. So it's pushed Alcaraz and Djokovic a little bit higher. So I can understand that. I think it makes total sense to me. I think I would probably have Medvedev as more of a favourite than Runa. So that's one thing I disagree with. But apart from that, it's pretty spot on.
Yeah. We can have a little quick look down. You see Zverev's in there at 29s and Rublev at 41s there. So, and you can see it gets steeper and steeper the more you go down there. Where's your, you've got Sinner, 12s. That's your player roulette. My one, Charic, they're hundreds. Might have a little punt on him. Why not? Hundreds. And you can see down there, Francisco Cerúndolo.
Yeah, I wouldn't go any further. Yeah, none of these. I think that's enough. Give him a hope in hell. It's going to be probably one of these names you see on the screen right now.
Yeah, I reckon so.
I'll be surprised if it's not one of these six.
I think that that's totally fair. Let us know if you've got any other players that you think are worth having a punt on. Let us know in the comment section.
I do think Rublev's worth a punt because if he beats Djokovic, which you'd have to do, then he will be full of confidence. And you never know. Rublev is a good player on his day. He, at that money at 40-1, is good value. He's the best value out here if you fancy a long shot. But saying that, it's got to be one of the top six, and I'll probably even stretch that to just top four.
Yeah, I mean, Tsitsipas at 15s doesn't seem too bad, to be honest, either.
No chance. Alcaraz's quarter won't get through him.
If he hopes that Alcaraz goes out to somebody who's playing amazing tennis on one particular day,
it's his only chance because he won't beat Alcaraz.
That's the thing, and we always think that they're going to have to play the players, but sometimes other people do him favours. Ask Rafael Nadal. He's had a few draws like that. I remember some of your routes to the final. They didn't really
Never comes true, does it?
But anyway, let us know your thoughts in the comments section. Do you think Novak Djokovic is going to be able to win number 23? That is the main question here. I've obviously gone for it. I think it's possible. I think he's going to be driven. And
let me just tell you why I don't think he is, because I know it's the title of the video. I don't think Djokovic will win number 23 because I said at the start of the year, and I was slightly wrong in what I was saying, but the meaning behind it is still something I stand by. That is that Rafael Nadal, Novak Djokovic, it feels like we are really coming to the end. And I know it is more apparent with Rafael Nadal right now. Well, really apparent. I mean, the other day we thought maybe the announcement was going to be him retiring from tennis. With Djokovic, that's not quite happened yet. But it happens very quickly, let me tell you. It wasn't too long ago we were talking about Rafael Nadal trying to win the Calendar Slam. Literally last year, he won the Australian Open, then won Roland Garros. Next up, Wimbledon. I mean, he was in the semi-finals and then had to withdraw. So, and that was only last year. So it can happen very quick in tennis. I honestly felt that after watching the way that transpired, he's coming to the end. I think Djokovic is going to be a little bit more delayed. He seems to have his body a little bit more intact and together. Supple. But saying that, what we have now is these young players who are actually got, they're quite good. They're and I've not good. Really felt the same about the likes of a Zverev and a Tsitsipas and a Dominic team. I feel a little bit different with the Runa, Alcaraz, Sinner. Of course, there's a few other names I've not mentioned as well from the past. But these guys, they have this extra little bit of grit and determination in their head and mind. And that extra energy and lack of fear, that's a good word to use, is enough to beat the likes of a Djokovic. Because we've seen it now time and time again, Runa and Alcaraz beating Djokovic. It can happen. Yep. On that basis, Djokovic is not getting younger. He's not playing very well in the lead up to this event. And I just don't see him winning it. I think if he plays up against either Runa or Alcaraz, I think they beat him. And that's why I went with it in the draw preview. I know a lot of Djokovic fans are not going to like what I'm saying, but this is how I feel. And I think, I hate to say it, because I've said the same about Rafael Nadal. Maybe I would have picked him to win this if he played, but probably that's just my bias, if I'm totally honest, because I don't think it's really feasible. if I'm being totally honest with myself, probably Olgaruna against the Rafa Nadal here at Roland Garros. Bruno has the upper hand. It's just the way tennis is going. And that's why I made the big prediction that I don't see any of the big three winning a Grand Slam this year. It's not happened because the first one, Djokovic won. But maybe we're never going to see any of them win anything again.
Well, we will have to wait.
So that's why I don't think he's going to win it.
Maybe there's partial bias from me picking Djokovic to win it as well. But there's maybe it's hope that he can come out and prove, because everybody is sort of looking past the likes of Djokovic and Nadal at the moment, and looking, because there's so much success from Carlos Alcaraz at the moment, so much success from Holger Rune, even Medvedev now doing well. Their names aren't being brought to the forefront quite as often. And I would quite like him to sort of put them back in their place just for one more time, just to show them, I'm still here, lads. Don't you get too ahead
of
yourself.
We've got Freya here saying, well, yes, if he plays the way he played the last few weeks, he's not going to win it. But he can rise his level anytime, and we know he doesn't focus on Masters the same way he does on Slams.
Exactly.
That's a good point. That really is. And we've got Jamie in, one of our members. Shout out to you. Saying, feeling lonely. Hopefully when it starts, that might change. I know how you're feeling, mate. Join us for the streams, and hopefully we can keep you some company. And fingers crossed we see Rafael Nadal very soon. But enough of that. Let's move on to the women's, because we're still on the first section of the countdown, 20 yeah. minutes down. And the next segment is going to be our next contender, who is the one and only Rybakina.
Yeah. Right, let's bring up her recent form as well. Yelena Rybakina, I think everybody knows by now. Guess what? She won in Rome. And people are going to say, I know that there's been a lot of nitpickers out there. People going, well, she won Rome, but three of her opponents retired in the way she won it. I don't think that means anything. I think she was still beating them anyway.
Look at the opponents.
Yeah, exactly.
Paolini, Kalinskaya, Vondrousova, Iga, Ostapenko and Kalinina. I mean, Ostapenko and Vondrousova, we've both got going so far. Iga, we've both got winning.
Yep.
So it's insane, really.
Yeah.
It's honestly insane. And I'm a bit shocked that I'm a bit disappointed maybe in myself that I didn't pick her to beat Iga. I think the only reason I didn't in the draw preview was because I think Iga's a safer bet. It's like, from a finance standpoint, it's like me diversifying my portfolio with her. I feel like it's a lot safer. Rybakina, there's no certainty she's going to get that far. She may go out to some unknown player or someone who's not so good. Iga will beat all of them. If they are to face each other, though, I probably think Rybakina wins. But I was hedging the fact that maybe Rybakina doesn't get there. I know that's the only thing I can really go with.
I know what you mean.
It's a finance view.
She's more likely to maybe lose to like someone like here, like Kalinskaya. She lost to in Madrid.
Exactly.
And she lost to Hadad Maia, but exactly. She did retire there in that match. But I feel that she does have the ability maybe to lose to somebody slightly lesser than what Iga does. Iga, she would have to lose to the very best to get beaten at Roland Garros. And that's, I think, you're alluding to. Somebody like a Rybakina or a Saba or even maybe Krejcikova. They're the only names that I think. Maybe.
Sakari?
No.
Speak of Roland Garros before.
Oh, yeah, before she won it. I don't know, but when you become a Grand... But this is the one thing we're not talking about with Rybakina. As soon as you become a Grand Slam champ, you're suddenly better as a tennis player all round anyway. You've got more confidence. You seem to walk on court with an air of confidence about you where you can beat anybody. And she even said it. Like, you play it to me just before here. She says, I think I can beat anybody on clay. I don't think there's nobody. I don't think I can beat
anyone on court. She doesn't. She thinks she's very good on all the surfaces.
Triple threat.
And I agree with her. I think she is not a bad clay court player. And maybe if we look at her previous results at Roland Garros, I know we just did the last year of Djokovic, but with her, let's look at 2021 as well, because some people might forget that she did get to the quarterfinal here in 2021, which is her best result in a slam aside from the one she won in Wimbledon. And I don't think she's as bad a clay court player as people are giving her credit for. She just won Rome now as well. she's clearly shown that she can play on all surfaces. And
yeah,
she is definitely a contender. I think the bookmakers have a, what's it, third favourite. But
yeah,
I think that's another really good bet. Third favourite, Rybakina.
I think it's a fantastic. I mean, if you're going
to
take
a punt. She's not my third favourite. I'd have her definitely either a one or a two. She's certainly a contender, that's for sure. And that's why she is the one we've picked out 11 hours to go before Roland Garros.
Yes. I remember when we were speaking about, obviously the podcast had probably only, was fairly fresh in 2020. And she got to, how many finals was it in that year? It was about, was it six or was it, I think it was, yeah, about six finals she got to in 2020. And she only won one of those finals. She did get to a final on clay. She got to a final in Strasbourg that year. She lost to Svitolina in three. So proves she can get to a final on a clay court. But even then, we knew, if you're getting to that many finals, even if you're not winning them, as soon as something clicks, we know that she's got the tools to be able to come like a real, real great like contender on the actual tour. And she's proved it. As soon as she's won that Wimbledon title, she looks different player now. She looks fearsome. Nobody wants to play her. And I feel like if she plays Iga, like you said, Iga's probably thinking, I've just lost to her three times this year already. Three times in... We're only in May. What's going to be like by the end of the year? She might be just trying to rack them all up.
It's got a number and on clay now as well. So, yeah, certainly a good bet. And on that, let's bring up the betting odds for the women's. And we can have a little look. Like we'll do the similar with what we did with the men's. Like I said, Rublev, really good money at 40-1, but real big outsider. On here, Iga, heavy favourite. Bigger favourite than Nicolás is on the men's. And we don't have anyone really that close to her like we do with Djokovic in second place. Here we have Sabra at 6-1. And also Rybakina is joint now at 6-1. Krejcikova in fourth at 18-1. Ostapenko 22-1.
Yeah. Ostapenko not bad still there at 22s. I think that's a good one. And I've got Vondrousova in my final. 28-1. That's still quite good as well. So, but they really don't fancy anybody other than the big three. And it is the big three now for a reason. They're dominant. And I think it just speaks volumes. The fact she's now level with Sabah. I don't think you'd have seen that had the Rome thing not happened. We've seen it on the men's, though. The odds have dramatically dropped for anybody who did well in Rome. It could just be a red herring, all of this Rome form. We don't know. Like we've seen some players not do that great when they've come out of Rome, but I don't know. I feel like Rybakina's the real deal. I feel that that's just going to enhance her confidence even more now getting that Masters title. Same with Medvedev as well. I feel like they're real contenders, both of them.
Yeah, agreed. And cheers, Mamadou Thiam, for the super chat. So Iga is intimidated by the power of Rybakina. Yeah, certainly is. And it's crazy that we've both gone for Iga to beat her if they are to face, because, yeah, it doesn't look like it's going to... I feel like Rybakina beats her. So I'll be fascinated for her. I can't really call it.
It will definitely...
Like I said, I played it safe.
It's going to be, I feel like, match of the tournament. It could decide the whole of Roland Garros if they face each other. The winner could come out of that match.
I think it could be like a final before final.
Well, Kostyuk Saba might decide the whole thing, mightn't it?
Well, make sure to join us, guys, for that. I'm going to do a bit of promotion because 10 a.m. tomorrow morning, me and Ben will be watching Kostyuk Sabalenka.
Come on.
And I'm going to be wearing a Ukrainian flag for it, so I'm going to be going big on Marta Kostyuk. I have a beat in Saba.
I will not be wearing a Belarusian flag, just in case you're... But I will be cheering Saba on, and I'll be pressing her button at every opportunity.
There we go. That is our contenders section of the countdown. Let's move on to the latest news. There we go. It's a bit jumpy moving from it, but this is the latest news section. And this is where I come into my own, really.
You got something to share or you send it to me?
I can do it.
Go on. Oh, look at him go. He knows how to share it.
The only issue is it might look a bit awkward. Apologies for that. I mean, I can try and... Let me just see if...
stretch it a bit.
Tell me when it's in, because I'm only on one screen at the moment.
I think that's fine. That's fine. That'll do you.
That'll do, yeah?
Yeah, that's good.
I'll do a little bit more.
Oh, look, he's got a little bit. He squeezed it a little bit.
Right,
there.
So this is what we're going to do. I've just typed in Roland Garros on Twitter, and I'm going to go through some of the top news. First up is Carlos Alcaraz, and he's gone for a tweet with about, what, 8 emojis, maybe. He likes his emojis, Carlos Alcaraz. Yeah. Whether or not he writes all the tweets himself, I'm not sure. But this is what he's gone with. And it is basically him. I don't know if this was at a practice. I'm assuming it is. And look at all the fans just trying to get him just to sign a ball. And the reason this one's quite interesting is because there was an incident recently where he was coming out of a car. I believe, and someone asked for a photograph, and he just...
Yeah.
It was a bit hotel, abrasive, and yeah, it was near a hotel, and he just walked past and people are calling him out, saying it's bad. Leave the guy alone. He's just, look, this is what he has to put up with on a daily basis. And he's such a kind guy. He's someone who I've seen time and time again wait and sign autographs. These people are human as well.
Spoken to.
People don't realise they're human beings. Give them a break. They've got their lives as well. There's only so much you can do, and He's one of the nice guys in tennis, so I don't like it when people get onto him.
Yeah, exactly.
I wonder if he's doing this tweet because of that incident, though.
It's, well, PR is a big thing. I'm sure he has a team around him who are trying to paint him in the best light possible, and it is probably a negative thing that did come out, and they said, come on, Carlos, we've got to get your name back in the positive.
All right, tweet this. Here's the photo. This is the caption. This is how many emojis you need to do. Done.
Who's doing his tweets? That's what I want to know.
Next up, we've got Ben, my favourite Ben of all time, Ben Shelton. Is this trip to Paris? This is what he's gone with. And it's a little video. He's getting ready for Paris. He's left America now. He's gone on the tour.
Can
he do something? Neither of us fancy him, but he's a really likeable character. Another young player. I think he'll do better on the American hard courts, but still,
the US Open.
One for the future. One for the future. And I really like Ben Shelton. Like I said, my favourite Ben. So let's move down.
I might do well at Wimbledon, Ben Shelton, I think.
Next one I've got, Holger Rune. And this is the support. And it's also him signing loads. We've got a few Rafa hats in here. The one I've
is this
got.
Is this because Carlos has put this out? He's like, well, I'll show him.
Well, funny enough, he did it 9 hours ago. And Carlos's one was 5 hours ago. So Rune did it first.
Carlos is trying to... It's just a rivalry for the fans, I swear.
I must admit, I've not seen these before I'm doing it. I'm doing it completely live. But yeah, it's very interesting that them two come up. And so far, three young players have featured when you type
not
it in.
Not many emojis there from...
Next up, we have Julie, one of the big Djokovic fans. And I wonder what this is. This is saying, me and my new jacket that I designed myself on the website where you can personalize gifts. Super happy to be here. And I can't wait to keep on cheering loud for Djokovic and to meet again plenty of Noel fam. And this is the new jacket she's got. Djokovic number one. Nice. Is that on the front?
No.
Is it no zip?
Is that back?
Oh, yeah, that's the back of her head. Sorry.
Reckon her hairstyle's like that.
I thought her hair was covering her eyes.
It's like, what sort of hairstyle do you think she's got?
And this is the sign she's gone with. I'm not sure about the font, Julie, but oh well. Greatest of all time. Two photos of Djokovic on the clay.
Ooh.
And she's going to be in attendance. So look out for the hair.
Always
I'm sure
there.
She'll be there standing up every time Djokovic wins a point. Next one, we've got Abigail Johnson. Roland Garros starts tomorrow, and I start on Monday for Eurosport. So I think this is a Eurosport sort of commentator, journalist. Photo from last time I commented at Roland Garros in 2021. And that's a world number 97 ranked Carlos Alcaraz practicing in the background. Pretty cool.
That is cool.
It's amazing how far he's come since then.
A long, long way. Yeah. I mean, like I was saying, I still thought it was crazy. I know that we're talking about this Holger Rune and Carlos Alcaraz sort of rivalry that's growing, and watching them play doubles when they were like really young is just such a strange sight to see, that those two young little kids on the court, both amazing as well, both choosing when to take the ball on. Like, they're just both such great ball strikers, and you just see them at that age. Amazing. Imagine them being on the other end of the court. They're your opponents in doubles. Terrifying.
Well, talking to Holger Rune, he's up next as well. This time, Patrick Mouratoglou. I think that is your role model. You've got a photo on your wall. Do you still have that? A poster of Patrick Mouratoglou naked on your bedroom wall?
PM. That's what I call him. Prime Minister, isn't he? Of my life.
Well, he's gone with shaping details with Holger Rune for Roland Garros on forehand, inside out, setting up the footwork for the best transfer forward. And he says, put the sound on. Oh. Do we listen to him put the sound on? And maybe you don't hear it.
Yeah, I think you might. Yeah. Oof, oh, my word. Lethal. <You know. laughs> That so cracks it, doesn't he?
Oh. I mean, it's pretty...
Didn't he's hear got that a, one.
I've just turned it off to sound. Oh. Yeah. It's a bit annoying. I don't like listening to it. But them forehands, I must admit, he's absolutely cracking them.
I thought we were going to hear Mouratoglou saying something. Or...
Is it because of Mouratoglou's coaching? I'm not sure. Probably, I think he's just got a very good player in Holger Rune there. But yeah, that forehand, one of the best on tour and one which is extremely dangerous.
Oh, my word. I need to learn a thing or two off him. I'm telling you, I could do with one of those in my arsenal.
But there we go. That sums up that section of the countdown. And that is latest news. Next up, my favorite section of them all, me versus Ben. It is the tennis shootout. So just to refresh you from the previous episodes, episode one, Ben got it wrong. I got it wrong. It was a question about Ben's as well. Roland Garros, he couldn't get it. Episode two, I wasn't here, I was on holiday. Covey stepped in. Covey got it right.
Yeah,
Ben,
well done.
Got it wrong. So so far, Covey is leading this JG versus Ben shootout. But I was hoping he was representing JG on the day. So does that mean I get a point?
Well, I said that he's probably getting the point for you. It was a Rafael Nadal question that I posed to him as well. So as it was a sort of like a Rafa exiting the tournament, I thought I'd do a Rafael Nadal question for him. So it was a good question. And he did say it was a complete guess out of the four things, but he did guess right. So I can't complain about that. If you pick right, you get the point. And 10 hours to go now, just so everyone...
Oh, you've updated.
That's it.
Nice. So how we're going to do this is we're doing it live. So we can't even edit out if we really embarrass ourselves drastically. No. Which makes it even more fun. So that's why I've made Ben's question so challenging.
Great.
It's a really good question for Ben. But how we're going to do this is Ben's going to get the count of the shot clock on the screen right now.
Right. I'm going to have to do it on my phone. Hopefully you don't mind me doing it like this. It's a little bit... normally, there's a bit more post-production goes into these, but I don't mind. As you can see here. So, I get in front of the camera. Here it is.
It's back to front.
How is it?
It's inverted. There we go.
How about now?
That's a lot better. So, 30 seconds, which isn't very long at all. Who's going first, Ben, me or you? Who went first last time?
I went first on our one, and then I think Covey went first on the last. I think whoever asked, like, do you want to go first or second? They always pick first. So I'll ask you, do you want to go first or second?
I'm going to go first.
Oh, he's going first, everybody. Right. Okay. So the time will start.
Don't make it too hard, man. It's got to be related to me and Roland Garros.
It's not related to you, but it is related to Roland Garros. I had to literally.
It can't be Rafa because he's not in it.
It's not Rafa related, but it is Roland Garros related.
I was hoping it was Rafa.
You may know this, and I'll give you four potential answers. So you just pick one out of the four potential answers. All right.
Okay.
Okay. So the timer will start.
After you've said the question in four.
I'll say go.
You need to say the full question in four, then give me a second. Then okay.
So, oh my word. Here we go. I've just realized that. just bear with me 1 second. That's all right. I can bring it up again quickly. It's fine.
Well, you forgot the question.
No, I didn't forget it. But when I here we go. Okay, perfect. So, right, I've got the timer ready. I just realised that where I'd taken it, because I was trying to find out the answer, it just gave me like a paragraph as the answer rather than actually the question disappeared. So, the French Open is also known as Roland Garros. But who was Roland Garros? Was he A, a pilot? B, a former tennis player, C, a former French president, or D, a famous scientist?
Go. A pilot.
All right. I'll stop the clock. It's only 4 seconds in.
I'm locking it in.
And it is correct. Yeah. There you go.
I knew that one.
That's what I thought you might know it. And
no, you didn't know. You tried tricking me. I didn't try tricking you.
I thought you might. I thought it might be one you may have heard
you
before.
You thought I was going to go player, didn't you?
No, I thought you may have heard it before, but I thought it was a good one. And it is. Roland Garros was a French aviation expert, the first man to fly nonstop across the Mediterranean Sea. He was a hero of the First World War and an aviation pioneer. There you
man,
go.
I'm actually gassed, man. I'm so gassed I got it right.
In 3 seconds as well. It's a
no, but when you know it, you just know it. Like, I just for sure. can't delay it. You just got to go with it. For I wasn't going to do like the drama just for the show.
I don't even have the music. Dun, 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 dun.
So iconic saying, good job. Cheers, guys. Yes, I've got one on the board. So this is a question for Ben. So if you pull the count, that the little timer up, and you can press start when I've finished.
All right, one sec.
I don't want you cheating. Right, so for those who don't know, the question started, by the way. This is I've got a little story.
What kind of... it's a silk.
So Ben's wearing a V-neck T-shirt. But
this is circular, but it looks me.
Djokovic wear in 1999. No. So this is how it's what it's going to be. For those who...
Why are you doing that voice? It's gone into David Attenborough mode.
So as you all know, Ben is backing Novak Djokovic to win Roland Garros. My question to him is a two-part question, really. Firstly, how many times has Novak Djokovic won Roland Garros and what years has he won it? Start the timer.
Oh, started it. Right. So I know that obviously he didn't win it last year, and I know that you're going to know that he won it the year before that. So I know that he won it in 2021.
Okay.
Now I've got to go back and think of the year before that he won it. And I think it was it 20?
Well, how many times first?
He's only won it twice. I'm going to go with... Oh, it's gone. I'm going to go with 2018. Is that right?
Is that your final answer? 2018.
I don't know if it's right.
Well,
no,
you've run out of time now. No, you've run out of time.
2016, I'm going to go with.
I'm sorry, you've run out of time.
Changed it to 2016, I'm going to go
I'm
with.
I'm going to have to.
I've changed it to 2016.
Someone's already put it in the live chat.
No,
so
I haven't.
Cheated.
I'm not even looking. I've not even got the live chat up.
No. The answer is 2016, but you did go for 2018. I'm going to have to go to my panel. Are we taking the first answer? Yes, we are taking the first start. So unfortunately, Ben, you've already got 50% of that right. You got it wrong. You looked at the live chat. You cheated.
No, I didn't even look at the live chat. I didn't even have the live chat up. That's probably how you got it right. Now I know how you probably got it right. It's so obvious now.
Oh, no, I didn't. I just said it straight away off the bat.
That's what I mean. But I don't know. I was not even looking. I'm just thinking. I didn't even know it was there. But anyway... 2016, because I know that Stan won it in 2015.
Look, for best, Ben, you cannot change your mind, especially with an easy question. The 30 seconds was gone. That's why we give you the thing. And your answer was 2018.
In my mind, I had the even number. And then I thought, no, Stan won it in 2015. And I know he won it the year after him.
Ah, nice, easy question.
Been a long day.
Yeah, true. I did. I said pilot like quick, so you can't even try.
Yeah, it was very fast.
Anyway, that was that part of the segment. It's a good laugh, anyway.
Good fun, that one.
The last pit we do have is surprise package. So, on this segment,
we've
done surprise packages in the past on these episodes. I think for the women's, I went for Vondrousova and Lajovic on the men's. Do I have any more names? Yes, I do. And that is since looking at the draw. So I'm going to give you one for the men's and one for the women. You'd probably be not surprised because you'd have seen my brackets. And let's start, Ben.
Yeah.
With the women's.
Okay, we'll start with the women's then.
Okay, so let me just bring it up a second. So with the women, my surprise package, who I didn't mention before, is going to be Clara Towson. I have her as my number one qualifier to watch.
Okay.
We're also going to the quarterfinals, and I think she can go further. Reason being, she's on the bottom half of the draw. She avoids Rybakina. She avoids Iga until the final, potentially. I like that section. I think it's open. I think we're not going to see a seeded player. I don't think Sabalenka is going to go far. I think there's a lot of names down there who could tumble out early. Because of that, I think we're going to have opportunities for people like Potapova, Towson, Qingwen Zheng, Ostapenko, them four names. I think there's going to be opportunities. And I'm really liking Clara Towson as a good outsider and a surprise package. That's my one on the women's.
It's not a bad one. Surprise packages go. I'll add that to your other surprise packages. You had one added to yours from last week from Covey. You had Martina Trevisan as a surprise package, potentially. Italian. So you thought I'd add that to your list. So you got Towson, Vondrousova, and Trevisan.
Yep.
And I think that I'm going to have to go with...
Are you going to refresh us on who you had?
Well, I have so far Ostapenko and Vekic.
Like Badoza, was she on there?
Nah. Didn't have her.
There was someone you had who pulled out.
Really? Who?
What was that? You had someone, and then like instantly they lost straight after. Was it Sarkary?
When was that?
It was on the first episode of the countdown. You were bigging up Sarkary, and then she just lost straight after.
Oh, that was in Rome. Yeah, yeah. She lost in Rome. Yeah, I said that she could be a potential contender. Well, that actually teased me up quite nicely on my contender, because I think it could be Mukova instead. So I'm going to go with Mukova to knock out Sarkary. And if she does, I feel that she has a nice section. All she has to do is get past Sarkary, and I think that section, she could clean it up.
Okay, nice. So let's move on now to the men's surprise package.
And again? Let's go with the buttons tonight.
Loved it. So for the men, my surprise package was, who was it before? Refresh us of me. I think it was Lajovic.
So far you had Lajovic, and then he gave you Francisco Cerúndolo.
Oh, I don't mind that. Come on, Javi.
I said, as you weren't here, he sort of filled in as
I'll
your
take that.
Twin brother. Francisco Cerúndolo is in your little surprise packages. I've got Zverev Karatsev so far on my side. And, well, this one's going to be a tough one to pick.
Yeah, it really is tough. I'm going to be going for the guy in the intro. The guy through the qualifiers, Sebastian Offner. Surprise package. He's my number one qualifier to watch.
He's never going to want to see you again, I don't think.
My qualifiers are going to be my surprise packages. Sebi Offner, come on. Do it for Austria. Do it for JG. Do it for Game to Love.
It's a little bit too qualifier
heavy. Them serves
are
so good, Ben. I felt them.
I did as well. They went past me, some of them, so I didn't feel them too much, but... That is coming soon. Don't worry. You will get to see me and JG trying to return Offner's serves.
Jamie and Sen, I picked myself. Or Covey did.
Yeah, Covey picked you as you were there. So,
how are we doing, Ardell? Shout out to you. Thanks for joining.
It's a real tough one because it's, for me, it's really, really no, I don't think I'm going to pick Skatov.
I think you picked him at Roland Garros last year as your number one qualified to watch, and I had Offner.
I think I picked him, I think it was Australia, but I don't even think it was Roland Garros. I don't think he made Roland Garros last year. I think it was Australia. I can't even think of one at the moment for my one. I'm looking down the list.
No, it's difficult.
What do you mean?
You got 1-8 on your draw? It's embarrassing.
Lajovic. I don't see him really going. Okay, I'll have this one then. Jarry.
Not this good one, yeah.
Is
not,
it?
Not mad at it. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, all right, there you go. Jarry. Jarry's been doing all right. Did he win today? I need to have a quick
player. Yeah, he did.
Oh, there you go. He's won a tournament. He's in good form.
You know what they say after they win a tournament, first round exit, next one.
He's going to come through. He's going to beat Delian. Then he's going to beat Paul. Then he's going to beat Medvedevic. And then he's going to be in the fourth round.
Well, Medvedevic is going to be me. I'm going big on Medvedevic. I've got him beating Jarry, so that'll be a good one.
I'll lose to Giron. So hard.
Come on, Medvedevic.
So there you go. You've got our final picks for this Roland Garros. Obviously, we only had three episodes of the countdown leading up to Roland Garros. And so we only got three players that we could have potentially picked, but we will be having one for Wimbledon. There will be no countdown whilst Roland Garros is going, but as soon as it's over, the countdown begins again to the next slam, and that obviously is Wimbledon.
Yeah, and let us know if you like this countdown podcast series. We're open to your feedback. We want to hear what you guys like and what you want us to improve on. So any feedback, let us know in the comments section. If you do like the show, please support us by giving us a like, joining the Patreon, or subscribing to Game to Love. Any of them would be amazing. Join the memberships another way. And if we get enough support for it, we'll keep doing it. And we'll be starting for Wimbledon. The aim is to try and get about five episodes in for every slam. So hopefully the next few will get more.
I was thinking, like, this is just a weird thought. When we get to... after the US Open, there's such a long gap until the Australian Open. We surely can't have just what every year the Australian Open has about 20 episodes or something ridiculous.
Fine. It's more of a countdown then.
Or we can do a countdown to the maybe finals. Some of them is the tour finals as well. We can do a tour final special or something in the countdown to that, just building up for maybe the month before, I was thinking.
Yeah. I think James asking whose idea. It was Ben's idea. So, yeah, let us know if you like it and we'll continue to do it. So far, we've got some good feedback, so we're going to keep at it.
Jarry beat my other surprise package. That's not a good sign. That's Zverev, is it, in that tournament? So, oh, well, never mind. That's it. The countdown is over and it is Roland Garros in under 10 hours now. But by the time we wake up in the morning, JG, Roland Garros begins.
Well, make sure to join us for that. We'll see you all tomorrow for the start of Roland Garros. Come on, Carlos.
Novak Djokovic has won the Australian Open. 35 matches unbeaten. He's done it. Carlos Alcaraz. Djokovic has won Wimbledon. He wins his 14th Roland Garros title.
Podcast Network.